We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
He's back from his 155 heater in the saddle.
Yeah, all ready to go, Parco. Let's talk some White Sox baseball, mister.
Let's do it. We are brought to you by Liberty Mutual Insurance. You have enough things to worry about every day. Insurance shouldn't be one of them. You can leave worry behind when Liberty stands with you. Liberty Mutual Insurance. Can't do it in 1 hour. Just added to today's program, Mike Pereira.
After can't do it. 3 o'clock hour heaven.
3:40, Mike Pereira will join us to talk about the new NFL catch rule. And Brent Musburger, you are looking live, 4:30.
Yes, when Mike Pereira was blowing the whistle in the NFL, he wore jersey number 77. Mike Pereira.
That's very exciting. So
stood up in Gene Steratore's wedding.
Thank you to Nick Shipkowski for getting him on today's show. But yes, I know you are very excited for Can't Do It. So give people a little, your feet hit the floor today, and you're a truth teller. You've lived your life on the radio for the better part of 3 decades, so I think this segment is right up your alley.
It's not for everybody, but I realize it's for many, and that's why it excites me. I think there's a certain percentage, I don't know what it is, I don't really care, what percentage of sports radio fans like it when they get a chance to go behind the curtain. That's kind of what Can't Do It is.
Sure.
That's always the sort of thing I've enjoyed. We as a radio station are as important as some of the teams are at certain times on the calendar, in my opinion. People, I mean, if you read the texts that we get every day, every show, if you read what people are saying on Twitter when the news shows tweet things about what they're doing on the air, you see a visceral, emotional reaction, just like they react when their teams lose. There are some people who are very upset about some of the changes recently. They're still healing. So Can't Do It is a format where we can let them know a little bit about some of the things that have been going on here, if that's the direction they choose to take it. I love talking about stuff like this. I don't have any fear when it comes to letting people how I feel about things or what I've been experiencing.
I'm an open book as well, and I've told you that it's among the things, probably the biggest thing that I took from you when I listened to you growing up, was the openness and the honesty and the transparency.
There it is.
And it's gotten me in trouble.
It is. When I was growing up, when I was 16 years old, painting houses, smoking doobs.
Yeah, listening to you, driving home
from
high school.
How many times I hear that over the years, it makes you feel real old. Well, you know what, Mac? You are getting old, fella.
Getting a little old. So we'll do that coming up at 3. And I'm glad that you're excited because you're still motivated, right?
Yep.
Okay, good.
Yep.
Excellent. Daily check. Tomorrow is 1 week until opening day. And we've been doing a ton of college basketball during the tournament and a ton of offseason football because the Bears have been making so much news in free agency, and you and I both love the NFL. But baseball on opening day, hope springs eternal. It's going to be fun with this show. Shep and I as Cubs fans, you and Tanny as Sox fans, so we'll have that whole dynamic to get into. But I am genuinely interested from you, Mac, as a Sox fan, like, what are you more – if I was going to say, give me a pie chart. Right, give me a pie chart of excitement, because last year it was all about the prospects and almost nothing about the big league club. Yoan Moncada notwithstanding, but it was almost entirely about the prospects. Where are you at this year?
I want to see the pitching staff as much as anything. I'm excited about Lucas Giolito in his second year on the staff. He has been terrific in spring training, and Carson Fulmer, on the other hand, has been a disaster in spring training. I think Don Cooper calmed me a little bit yesterday when we heard Cooper talking about how there's a lot of pitchers who struggled with a curveball in the Arizona air. He talked about how Jose Contreras didn't.
That's exactly right. Those are the only ones that don't struggle in the Arizona air.
And he won if you were scoring yesterday. I said Coop is from New Jersey. He actually is from New York City. So my bad on that. I thought he was from across the river. But their pitching staff, Their young pitchers get me excited. I want to see guys who can take the ball away from James Shields sometime very, very soon. So they don't have to look at him as their number one.
Well, yeah, if Carson Fulmer does make the opening day rotation, 3/5 of that rotation, in theory, will have eyes towards the future. Like, they could be pieces for the future, young, cheap, cost-controlled starting pitching, which is the most valuable commodity in the sport. Like, we know Giolito will be must-see TV. We know Ronaldo Lopez is going to be must-see TV right behind him. We know Kopech is coming eventually, but the timeline on that is, you know, to be determined. And then, of course, Carson Fulmer, who's been really bad. And if Carson Fulmer needs more time in AAA to start the season, then 3/5 of the rotation will be guys who are not a part of the future. And it'll be James Shields and Hector Santiago and Miguel Gonzalez. And it'll be interesting to see, like, Sox fans with a tune-in and tune-out factor based on who that day's starting pitcher is.
I am an admitted bad Sox fan. I think some people would say, well, if you're a Sox fan, there's an excellent chance you're a bad fan. Because we're a fair-weather lot. We're a very picky group. We need something special, usually, other than bargain prices on Sundays, $10 parking to get us to the ballpark. We don't have the stomach as a group the way Cubs fans had a stomach for a rebuild several years ago. Now that White Sox fans have seen it 7 miles away, they are telling us, if we read what Sox fans are saying and listen to Sox fans as I do, they're telling us that they have the patience for this. We'll see how much that materializes in terms of bodies through the gate.
Yeah, I don't fan shame, though. Like, the Cubs fan base is bigger than the Sox fan base.
You think?
Yeah, and Wrigley Field is historic, and there's so many out-of-town fans that are there, and the location of it, and everything that factors into that. So if Sox fans aren't, if the attendance is 14,000 a game for a while, like, okay. If you build it, we will come. They don't deserve your money at the game until that they have a winner out there. Now, if you want to go and you want to support the team, fine. But I expect the ratings to be up on TV. I expect the ratings to be up on radio. I think they've got a terrific broadcast with Benetti and Stone. And Hawk, he'll do his 20 games in his farewell season. But they do a ton of look-ins to the minor leagues. And they do a great job of educating you. And NBC Chicago is, I think, airing 20 AAA games this year for the White Sox. Like, they're doing a very good job.
Boy, that's going to pack them in.
I don't think it's going to pack them in, but I think that they're doing a good job of selling you on the future.
You're right. They're doing the right things.
They're doing the right
things. They've always done the right things, but they've been fighting an uphill battle.
Yes.
For years. They always will. Let me back you up. What do you mean by location? You made a comment about where the White Sox are located. What do you mean?
Well, the neighborhood ballpark of Wrigley, there's just more stuff right around the stadium. So the experience at the stadium.
Okay, I wasn't sure what you meant by that. So I would like, you have a problem with where it's located? Is it?
Oh, I mean, I would prefer it to be in the South Loop or closer to downtown, or at least facing downtown, so we could see the skyline from the stadium, from the seats behind home plate. Like, I think that I got some problems with Sox Park. Yeah, and the name of it is ridiculous.
For those of us who live outside the 312,
yeah,
U.S. Cellular Field is radically more convenient.
Well, of course. And if you live south, you're more likely to be a Sox fan, so you want to go there. No, all I'm talking about is the experience of it. It's what leads to more casual fans being Cubs fans and it being more of a tourist destination.
That's true. Okay.
Bigger fan base, and it's more fun. It's more fun to go and be around all
That's
the nonsense.
That's your opinion?
Yeah, it is my opinion. It is my opinion. Are you going to disagree with that opinion?
I have a blast at White Sox games.
So do I. I went to probably 5 or 6 Sox games last year as a fan, and it was a great time. But I think it's fair to say it's a different ballpark experience, pretty drastically, than 75 bars right around the stadium.
You a tailgater?
Love tailgating.
You like to put fresh red meat over hot Kingsfords?
You know, Chicago's not because of how small the parking situation. I associate tailgate with football mostly.
See, we have a parking lot at the baseball park on the south side.
Which is beautiful.
Yeah.
Which is
you
great.
You can tailgate there.
I know.
They allow Kingsfords.
I know you can. I was at a tailgate with one of your old radio shows there way back in the day, and I would love to bring that back. So if you want to do a tailgate at Sox Park.
Well, I'm not necessarily inviting you, but I'm going to tailgate at the south.
I feel like I've offended you.
Now Tanny and I are going. B-Mac's a White Sox fan, too.
That's good.
I loved yesterday learning that these guys road trip together, by the way. I thought that was very cool.
Yeah, you guys have done that for years, right?
Yeah, it's one of my favorite things, and it's kind of something that we do every year. Occasionally, someone will have to tap out for whatever reason, but we try to keep it going even as our lives get busier, you know, get kids and wives and things of that nature. So we like to do that every year.
And Pittsburgh is the year, right, this year?
Yes, even though we've done it before, but that's how great of a ballpark it is. It's worth the return visit.
Good for you guys. So you are more excited about the big league club or
yes,
the future?
I'm more excited about the big league club. I want to see, like I said, Lucas Giolito as much as anybody on the pitching staff. I'm excited about seeing Moncada play every day. I'm excited about another year of Tim Anderson in his development. I think they have some decent depth behind the plate. I'm looking forward to seeing how that situation shakes out. I can't wait to see Nicky Delmonico. There's a lot of reasons to be excited about it.
I think it's among the best times to be a Sox fan right now because I've described this upcoming season as only upside. Like the only way this season is a disaster is if there are multiple devastating injuries. Because now, sure, if Moncada doesn't look good or something like that, but you've got so much hope at so many different levels of the organization, whether it's Luis Robert at single A or Eloy shooting up through the organization, expected to be here by late summer or at the absolute latest call-ups at the end of the season. Like, you're going to have guys who are successful at different levels.
Kopech?
Well, yeah, of course.
Boy, he's a handsome lad, isn't he?
He is.
He is a good-looking man.
He is.
My goodness.
He broke up with his...
Yeah, he's fresh and he's single again.
With his starlet girlfriend, right?
He's been having trouble handling that, too, is what they're saying.
Well, get away from that for a little bit. Focus on baseball.
He needs a conversation with Hawk Harrelson. Dangerous, let me tell you something. Best year of my life was my divorce.
We got Giolito on the show tomorrow. Can I confirm that, Shep?
Yeah. 3 o'clock tomorrow, yes.
Lucas Giolito.
But can't do it today at 3? Lucas Giolito? Tomorrow at 3?
We're actually going to make him play. Can't do it.
That would be great. I'm ready for the first athlete in town to step up and play Can't Do It. That's going to happen on this afternoon show. I don't know who it's going to be, but we'll have our first guest participant in Can't Do It.
I'm for it.
Okay. You can pull some strings. You're Dan McNeil. People know you. Get us John Paxson in here to play some Can't Do It.
I will text him and ask him.
There we go.
I'm sure he'll be all over it.
I'm sure they will. Tanny, what about you? Sox fan, where? Because I would listen to you and It's On in the previous afternoon show, and every single time it was, I'm the one. I'm streaming a AAA game.
Wow. Checking out the Dash, the Winston-Salem Dash.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things to do on a Wednesday night.
So give me a pie chart. What percentage on the major league team? What percentage in the minors and the prospects?
You know, I told you before the show, I was looking like 70-30 skewed toward minor league development, but I think I'm going to backtrack that to 60-40 maybe, because there are still some things. Like, I do want to see the development of Moncada, see if he can put it together for an entire season. I'd like to see Tim Anderson bounce back and have himself a nice year after what he went through. I want to see if my buddy Nicky Delmonico is the real deal. Yeah, things like that. And the pitching staff, like Max said, you know, Giolito, Lopez, and maybe Fulmer gets it together. I'd love to see those guys go every other day. So
the crazy thing about the Sox, too, is because there's a couple of teams in the division that are just awful and not trying to win and not as far along in the rebuild and how hard they play for Rick Renteria. Like, if the Sox just beat up on the Tigers and the Royals, who are awful, they could be a surprise 500 team. Like, it's in play.
I think it is in play that they win 79, 80, maybe go 500, right around there. I expect them to win more games than what their over-under is right now.
So do I.
What is it, 68?
Yeah, maybe it'll be up to 68.5.
I'll be disappointed if they don't win more than 75 games.
Right, so if you get that too, because then that means you've got young guys contributing and you're winning some and it's not a real tough time every time you tune in and you're just getting your head kicked in, it'll be an enjoyable summer.
Yeah, I mean, God bless Tanny for liking minor league baseball enough to watch that much of it. You can't
say I liked it, man.
Well, yeah, but you
I
said
like watching
40%.
Guys.
Is that what you said? 40% of your time will be spent watching the minors?
Well, not watching it,
paying attention.
60%, I think.
Yes,
because I want to watch Luis Robert this year a lot. I want to watch Eloy. I love those two guys, and I can't wait to watch them every night.
The stars, like the best players, are still not here. If you grant that Eloy, Kopech, and Luis Robert have a chance to be the best players on the team, like that's the excitement.
I'll follow them via Twitter because I'm told you can do that now.
It's true.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch minor league baseball. I'll follow their stats, but I want to watch the big club. I don't watch minor league baseball.
312-644-6767. I'm curious at the division between the guys who are not yet going to be here and the ones who are for Sox fans in terms of their excitement. And then I'll lay out where I'm at for this Cubs season because you can't tell me nothing negative about this squad right now. Like, I think they are going to be very, very good.
And you should feel that way, but you do also acknowledge there are question marks about an untested bullpen.
Yes.
A guy who's being asked to be a closer, and he hasn't been asked to be a closer in 8 or 9 years.
Yes. No. And I just think that that question could be asked of a lot of different teams. But we'll get into it. It's McNeil and Parkins ahead of Can't Do It at 3 o'clock on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Yeah, that's why it can't be 100% of your focus on the big league club when you've got that guy threatening to shoot his way through the minors this year. Jeff Passan told me, when the trade happened between the Cubs and Sox for Quintana and Eloy Jimenez, he was like, well, he could be a gold glover who hits 300 with 30 home runs. And I was like, well, that's MVP. He's like, yeah. He might have just traded.
That good.
He might have just traded a future MVP. I was like, okay. Quintana better be very, very good and pitching some very, very big games for the Cubs.
The White Sox always have had the philosophy a prospect remains a suspect until he does it at the big league level. And I kind of always have been a little guarded in getting too excited over hearing projections like your guy Jeff Passan was just giving you.
I get it. I do. He seems to be, like, position players obviously hit at a higher rate than pitching prospects because there's less of a concern for injury. So it's a little bit safer, I would say, to project position players than it is pitchers. And then he's also he's as close to can't miss as it gets for prospects. He's a top five prospect in the sport, number one prospect in the organization, and if he forces their hands, he could be up by July.
He'll be up here. Yeah, we're going to see him for 70 games, 80 games. There's not a doubt in my mind we're going to see him.
You think we're that long? I mean, there will be a service time question at some point
right. With
him. But so I guess I could see it being a little bit less than that if they want to slow that down. But yeah, if he's here in June or July, then yeah, you're going to see him for a long period of time this summer. And that would be incredible.
You know, I don't know if you've looked at your team's schedule much yet, and I don't know if many of our fans, I mean, any Sox fans or Cubs fans are already looking at schedules, but they got the White Sox-Cubs series half right this year. Both series are on the weekends.
Right.
That's how they should be, invariably. Cubs-Sox, always, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. The bad part is the second series could mean nothing for either team. And it's likely to mean nothing for the White Sox anyway because it's at the end of September.
That's not
when you play that series.
I disagree. I like it there. Especially the last Sunday home game for the White Sox is that Cubs series. So Hawk Harrelson's last game could be Cubs
Sox.
He's
going to get lost in the shuffle as we watch whomever Matt Nagy is trying to figure out.
But Hawk against the Cubs will be a huge deal. And if the Sox win...
Not on an NFL Sunday, it won't be.
Oh.
The Cubs will be resting players because they will be 7 or 8 days removed from clinching the NL Central.
We'll see. We'll see if they're not playing for home field. They still got to contend with the Dodgers and the Nationals and other teams in the National League. I have a hard time believing that Cubs Sox Hawk Harrelson's last game gets completely overshadowed in this town.
I've seen it. I've lived it. Now, granted, the Cubs weren't a playoff team at the time, but we did shows in Wrigleyville in September several years ago, not too long ago.
Yeah.
And the series meant nothing to either team.
It'll mean something to the Cubs, and then the Hawk component of it, I think, will be a big deal for Sox fans. And I'm here for the jokes. Hawk Harrelson, if his team in his last game is losing 10-0 to the Cubs, and he's just going out throwing punches about Wrigley Field,
that would be the worst thing that could happen, though, because when the Sox are down 10-0, is when he doesn't say anything. He shuts down completely.
Well, then give me.
He's in complete shutdown mode when they're getting thumped.
Well, if it's his last game, I don't think he's going out silent.
Maybe he'll do it like Keith Jackson did in his last game, and quote Churchill.
I'm down for anything. I want there to be drama. And yes, as a Cubs fan, I'd like to twist the knife towards the Sox and make Hawk's last game miserable.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
McNeil and Parkins on the Score, brought to you by Tomorrow Sleep. Welcome Tomorrow with the new Tomorrow Hybrid Mattress. Use promo code DRIVE1 and save up to $250 when buying mattress, foundation, and sleep protector at tomorrowsleep.com.
I was referencing that Cubs Sox series in late September, how nobody will be paying attention because Matt Nagy and the Bears will be going to work. I believe that'll be week 3 of the NFL season, but I don't have it committed to memory yet in terms of the schedule. How it lines up, I don't have in my head. I'm guessing that's week 3, maybe even week 4. Guessing week 3. Doesn't matter. I said people will be watching the Bears. They'll be interested in the Bears. And in a couple of textures, you overrate the NFL. Yes, I do overrate the NFL. Guilty as charged. But I'm not speaking just for me here.
Oh, the Bears.
I'm speaking
will be
for all of this city. People will line up to watch the Bears in mass comparatively to that series. Are you kidding me?
I'm in agreement with you, but I'm hoping for the double dip. Give me the Bears at noon and make that at the Sunday night game. You know what I mean? Like I'm hoping to be able to do both and make that a great sports Sunday in Chicago and have it line up that way so that we can take in both. But yeah, of course, if those games are going on at the same time.
Tanny makes a great point as well when he says this. If you do get that then on the Sunday night, Hawk being there would be eliminated because it would be on national TV. So knock one of those games, those 20 that he's going to do off.
That's a bummer. I just want Hawk.
They flex it last minute.
They flex it. He doesn't get a goodbye game.
Doesn't get.
ESPN foils the White Sox again. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, we're going to talk to Hawk. Hawk had promised me at Sox Fest that he would come on the show. He promised me that he would come on the show a couple. And if the first time goes well, maybe a second time. So we'll try to get him before opening day, and we'll run some of these scenarios past.
One of the interesting things about beginning a new partnership is learning who the people are who are guest potential guys who don't like your partner and won't come on the radio show.
Exactly.
I'm learning that today. All of the guys I was thinking, oh, no, can't call him. No, can't. No, this happened. And I'm sure there will be some guys that I want to get on who want nothing to do with you, and you'll have some who want nothing to do with me. We'll figure it all out as we go. We'll navigate our way through it.
I don't think I have too many people who don't want anything to do with me. But there are a couple in my 16 months or so in Chicago. I'm guessing your list is a little bit longer.
Probably.
Right, but what, you and Hawk? You and Hawk?
We're good.
You and Hawk are good.
We're good. I've been rougher on Hawk, and I've told him that.
Yeah.
Over the last few years, I'm going to celebrate the good times as he enters his swan song of a season.
Yeah.
It's been time for a while. And Jason Benetti is the right guy for the job. Jason
Benetti's awesome.
He and Stone together made me comfortable right out of the gate.
He's a tremendous broadcaster and a great guest. We'll definitely have him on this show. But yeah, I had a great 20-minute conversation with Hawk at Sox Fest this year, and he said he'd come on. Let's go to Bobby. He wants to talk some Sox on the Score. What's up, Bobby?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I love the new show.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. So a lot of interesting storylines, I think, for the White Sox this year. And I look a lot at Carson Fulmer. So this guy was the 8th overall pick, I believe, and he was a college pitcher. So historically, you know, he wasn't a high school guy. I mean, these guys usually come out pretty ready to go. And, you know, he has struggled. His track record in the minor leagues has been pretty poor. I used to watch him a lot as a reliever at Vanderbilt. And when I see him pitch, I think reliever. My question is, from an organization, I mean, how much failure do you need to see as a starter before you make the switch, before you lose a guy for good?
See, I think that he's got some time for that one, personally. He's 24 years old. They're not...
I don't think they're going down that road anytime soon.
Well, all relief pitchers are failed starting pitchers.
Like, correct.
That's the nature of the beast. So I won't rule it out entirely, and he's had a disastrous...
But not now.
I don't think we're particularly close to that, because it's so much more valuable to have a fourth or fifth starting pitcher than it is to have an eighth inning guy. Now, when it comes time to be in the playoffs and the game has kind of gone backwards and it's more on relief pitching in the playoffs and you've got guys like Brandon Morrow who pitches in 7 World Series games, then once it comes time for postseason play, you can make an argument for bullpen pitching. But to get there, you need the starters. So I would be floored if any time in the next 18 months he was not considered a starting pitcher.
Let's give Dr. Don, who's done a pretty good job in that Sox clubhouse over the last decade plus, let's give him the benefit of the doubt with Carson Fulmer. I think he's earned that trust.
Yeah.
The Sox pitching coach.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Yeah, I mean, the Sox have developed pitchers better than most organizations have. It's been position players that have been the problem historically. Starting pitching health and starting pitching development has been one of the consistent positives of the Don Cooper era of the White Sox.
That's right.
So we'll see. Like, that's why it's exciting to see him work with this type of talent. Like the Giolito talent level and the Kopech talent level with his track record of keeping guys healthy.
Right.
That's what's exciting about potentially doing it. People are always going to compare the Cubs and the Sox for the rebuild. Well, the Cubs did it a lot with their position players. Sox might do it with starting pitching prospects and position players. That's something that Theo was not able to do.
You're right.
And Theo will say, hey, I just get the pitching when they're good at the time. Like, I got Lester when he was good at the time. I got Arrieta when he was good at the time. I got Quintana when he's good at the time. So Theo will push back against that being a criticism of him. But the Sox might be able to do both.
Since you mentioned John Lester, did you happen to take your wife to Hamilton?
Yeah.
Did you notice his role in it? Did you notice that Cubs left-hander John Lester played the role of Aaron Burr?
No, I did not
know. I swear to God.
They got a lot of different casts,
man. Really, I know that. But this was the main cast. This was the main crew that was that been here in town for a long time now.
It's the same crew for a while.
I'm looking at the program. That's got to be John Lester. That's John Lester. It's not John Lester.
It's not John Lester.
But it looked just like him.
He doesn't strike me as a stage and song performance type.
You can't see John Lester in tights? Why not? You see him in double knits. It looked like a very simple transition to tights and a long wig.
I got to be honest, I had never considered it until now, but that's what you're going to do with this partnership. You're going to push my mind into areas that I had never once considered.
Did you like Hamilton?
Loved it.
Did you?
Yeah, I thought it was...
The story was fascinating.
The story was great, and...
I didn't know all of the story. I felt educated when I walked out.
Yeah,
and in dire need of a Stone CD.
You're not a fan of the music?
Not a lot of it.
Really? I thought it was great.
I thought a lot of it was great. It was well performed. It's just not my preferred genre.
Yeah, I'm more, you know, I'm not the biggest music guy in the world, but if I had to pick a genre, I would pick hip hop. So I enjoyed the hell out of it. I'd never seen anything like it. Just everything a cappella, everything song, no dialogue whatsoever, the historical component of it. It was, I thought it deserved the billing that it got. I would see it again.
Christmas week, secondary market prices for Hamilton.
$500 a ticket?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Merry Christmas, sweetie.
Good for you.
On a first-year car salesman salary.
That's rough. We got can't do it in 20 minutes. I got some Cubs stuff to throw at you guys coming up, though, on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
That is your fourth Cubs closer in 4 years, Brandon Morrow. But right now, it's time for your chance to win $1,000 in cash on the Score. This hour's keyword is perfect. Text perfect to 72881 by the end of the hour. Again, the keyword is perfect to 72881. One randomly selected nationwide entrant from this hour will win. Please do not text and drive. Message and data rates may apply. This segment of McNeil and Parkins, 15 minutes ahead of Can't Do It, is brought to you by Firestone Complete Auto Care. Firestone Complete Auto Care, keeping cars running newer, longer. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone. So the Cubs, as we are 1 week and 1 day from opening day, I am not saying they're a perfect team. I'm not saying that there will not be problems. But the upside of a team that has Lester, Hendricks, Darvish, Quintana, and Tyler Chatwood out of Coors Field, when you look at his splits away from Coors Field last year,
yes.
And Theo, I mean, with how the baseball market unfolded and how long it took everybody to sign, but Theo, the first free agent signing was Theo Epstein signing Tyler Chatwood. And I, like most baseball observers, have a lot of faith in Theo Epstein. If he goes out and sees someone that he wants and he gets him, and that's the fifth starter, I think they'll be pretty good. That starting rotation, plus their position player depth, youth, and health, man, they should be a really good team again this
year. Even with an average bullpen, they should be the best team in the division. And I'm not saying they have an average bullpen. I'm saying even if the bullpen weren't as good as you would like it to be,
yeah.
You want it to be improved, even though the closer was pretty, God bless it, good last year. Kind of lost in the shuffle. Was what, 37 consecutive saves without a blown save?
Yeah, he set the Cubs franchise record for consecutive saves.
Did you guys talk? I didn't hear people talk about that last summer. Everybody was so concerned about the way things were shaking out with the big picture down the stretch. That sort of got lost in the shuffle.
Well, some of his non-save situations also were not very good. Like some of his peripheral numbers had been trending downwards from his dominant years with the Royals in 14 and 15. So it was just, he was good and the saves were there, so you couldn't really argue with the results, but there was always something that just felt 95% of Wade Davis, 90% of Wade Davis. But the thing with the bullpen is almost every team in the sport has bullpen questions, right? We were just talking about
it. It's the toughest thing in sports for, well, it's the toughest thing in baseball is to secure your bullpen. Finding a closer, most general managers will tell you that's their most difficult assignment.
Well, because it changes so often. Mm-hmm. There's so few guys who are consistently good at it year in and year out because they're the guys who will throw 60 to 80 innings in a season. So the variance there on that small of a sample size is wider than for a guy who will throw 200 innings a year like a John Lester. So, but the thing that I like about the Cubs bullpen is they've got a lot of guys that have, I guess I would say, really high upside. Like, Justin Wilson, when they got him from the Tigers, was objectively awful. They could not even put him on the postseason roster. But he's a former closer who has never had problems walking guys in his entire life until he got to the Cubs last year. And then all of a sudden, he couldn't find the strike zone. So, assuming that's, like, the back of his baseball card, right, is much more good than bad. So, assuming he pitches to the back of his baseball card, he's much better than he was last year. Steve Cishek hasn't closed in a few years.
That's a great Swirsky name. It
really is.
Throwing smoke tonight in Chicago.
But Justin Wilson, closer experience. Steve Cishek, closer experience. Obviously, Brandon Morrow, huge upside and closer experience, who was one of the five best relief pitchers in baseball last year. And then their own guys, like C.J. Edwards, who you feel like if he ever did click, he could be a closer. That we talked to Jim Hickey out at spring training, and he said his stuff is top 10 in the sport. It's just about harnessing it for the talent. So they won't all click, right? Like, some of those guys will be a problem and will be question marks, and they'll come out on the negative side of their ledger. But if two or three of them click, all of a sudden it's a really good bullpen. And I think that's the optimism for Cubs fans.
What do you see having the potential to upset you? Because I already have thought about this from the mindset of a Cubs fan.
Well,
what would aggravate me if I... And I'm not a Cubs detractor. I'm not one of those White Sox fans who I get an enormous, you know, bump in interest in the show when the Cubs are good. It's good for me when the Cubs are good.
Of course.
I never really disliked the Cubs. But I've been thinking about this from your team's perspective. What could trouble you?
I'd be surprised if they didn't start hot, honestly. The starting pitching is healthy and really good, and they should be motivated. And last year we dealt with, like, in this we in terms of, like, the media and fans dealt with debating whether or not a World Series hangover was real when everybody clearly saw that it was, and then at the end they all admitted it. I expect them to come out more like they did 2 years ago. So if for some reason they start slow in April and May again, it'll be frustrating because I don't know. Like, the Astros might be more talented than them. The Dodgers might be more talented than them, but I don't think it's by a lot. So I want the Cubs to be in the conversation heading into the playoffs as the favorite and not just one of the teams. But I do see it as a virtual certainty that they win the division and make the playoffs.
One of the things I would guess would aggravate a Cubs fan, potentially, whether the team is going great or not, too much playing time for the right fielder because his $184 million salary or contract mandates that over his performance. When you've got younger, more capable guys who can hit, guys who can put the ball. Albert Almora didn't get the 300 at-bats last year. People are tired of that. Cubs fans have grown tired of that guy getting rolled out there to play right field every day so he can ground out three times a night.
I'm with you, but as long as the rest of the offense is producing, I think they have to live with it. Because of the contract, because of the defense, because of the base running, because of the leadership, because of mainly the contract. Like, you don't just sit that guy with 4 years left, 5 years left on his deal. So
if it's for the betterment of the team, you do.
Eventually.
How much better is that making the team, though, if Jason Hayward's playing less? If you get more, Ian Happ in right field?
Well, instead of platooning Ian Happ and Albert Almora, they both play every day. I don't care if this guy's making $184 million. If he doesn't deserve to play, he doesn't play.
So then you have I get where the offense is better without Hayward, adding Almora, adding Happ every day. But you also then, with putting Happ in right field versus what Hayward gives you, that is such a drop. You go from best right fielder or second best right fielder in all of baseball to Happ, who is a butcher in right field.
Hayward will absolutely, like, when they're leading games, if he didn't start, he'll be the defensive replacement. So that's innings for him right there. And then he'll get some starts. They're going to give him a chance to hit at the start of the season. To me, as long as Bryant, Rizzo, Schwarber, Contreras, Russell, like, if those guys are all hitting, you can afford to carry Jason Hayward and his bat in right field for defense. Now, if Schwarber doesn't hit, and Contreras regresses, and Russell hits 240 again, which he's done every year of his career, then it's more of an albatross with Hayward out there. But if those young guys play well, and it's Baez and Hayward are your two questionable bats, you can carry a questionable right fielder and second baseman offensively.
Later on today, I want to get back to Hayward.
We'll do
it. I got more on Hayward for you.
Good. 312-644-6767. We did not talk about this, but I assume for today, just me and Mac, we'll let you guys ease into it on the other side, or are you there for it? We'll just do it for me and Mac today. Me and Mac, you guys know how the game is played if you listen to the Midday Show. One question to one person, no follow-ups, no proprietary information. It can't have been asked and answered to Mac. He's never played the game before. But yes, if you've asked me the question before and I've answered it, I have the right to not open that old wound again and say asked and answered. But it is Max maiden voyage on Cantu. You think anyone has anything they want to know, Max?
Feels like the first time.
312-644-6767. It is Can't Do It on the McNeil and Parkin Show, coming up on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.